أبلغ أمتك مني السلام وقل لهم إن الجنة تربة الأرض عذبة الماء وإنها قيآن وإن غراسها سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we set out, I'd like to begin by acknowledging the listeners of Radio Islam International, those listening via Medium Wave 1548 and the satellite and audio streaming throughout the globe. We are all well aware of the fact that we are in a very blessed period of the year. The hadith categorically states, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحْ فِي أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. There are no days in which good actions are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The added advantage that this period has over other periods of the year, especially the month of Ramadan, is that the actions that are carried out in this period cannot be carried out in any other time of the year. If you look at the actions of Hajj, a person can be on the plains of Arafat for 349 days of the Islamic year, and that would be considered as not an act of worship, but a futile act, waste of time, setting the sun. Come the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, a person stands there even for a short while after Zawal with the Ihram, and the person becomes a Haji. This cannot be done at any other time. By the same token, the act of slaughtering an animal as an act of worship is only an ibadah during these 3 days, the 10th, 11th and 12th. Throughout the year, yes, you can slaughter animals, you can give them meat as charity, but the actual slaughtering of the animal is an act of worship in these days. So these ibadahs are restricted to the specific days of the year, and that is what gives this period the edge over other periods of the year. If we look at both the actions of Hajj and the actions of Qurbani, then it is both linked to one great Nabi who stands out in the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who is known as Abu al-Anbiya, the father of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. All the Anbiya who came after him were from his lineage. From Ismail to Ishaq to Yaqub to Musa, Isa, Ayyub, Zakariya, Yahya, alayhi salatu wasalam, they all were from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He's mentioned more than 25 times in the Holy Quran. In fact, an entire surah is named after him, Surah Ibrahim. This is the lofty position that he enjoys in the place by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there are various angles to the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And to discuss his entire life story or various aspects of his life may require a lengthy discourse, which we do not have at our the little time we have at our disposal this afternoon. However, if we look at all the various incidents that occurred in his life, and the manner in which he responds to every occasion, there's a common thread that we find through all of that, and that is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the common point. That was the salient feature of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He had intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this became manifest in different ways. At every instance when there was a choice to be made, it was the love of Allah that guided his choice. When there was a sacrifice that had to be made, it was the love of Allah that made him or drove him towards that sacrifice. In every instance, the common feature was the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we need to strive to attain. Because once we attain the love of Allah in our lives, then the deen of Islam becomes enjoyable. If we don't, then it becomes obligations, instructions, prohibitions. We are told you have to do this, so I'll do it if I fail that I want to. We are told to abstain from this, so we may abstain of fear of punishment, but we will abstain begrudgingly. But if we have the love of Allah in our heart, then there's a different enjoyment that comes in our deen. Every aspect of our deen becomes beloved to us. We become more willing to sacrifice, we become more willing to submit, and we don't have those questions. And for that reason, we can learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every faculty of the body has a unique feature. The eyes are there to see, the ears are there to hear, the tongue is there to speak and to taste, and the nose is there to smell. By the same token, the heart also has its unique feature, and the feature of the heart is that it loves. That is the outstanding quality of the heart. And when there is love of Allah in the heart, then everything else becomes a secondary. And the love of Allah should be the predominant quality in the heart of a believer. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe, their love for Allah is most intense. The love for Allah is most intense. So the love of Allah should be the dominant feature in our heart. If you have a utensil, you fill it with water, fill the full. Then you cannot put cold drink in that very utensil until you remove the water, because the water has already filled the utensil. Similarly, we need to question ourselves as to what is it that we filled our hearts with? Have we filled our hearts with the love of Allah? Have we filled our hearts with such love of our family members, our spouses, that is preventing us from obeying the commandments of Allah? Because if we filled it with the incorrect substance or items or feelings or emotions, then there is no place for the love of Allah. It's only until we remove everything else and put Allah's love in its correct position, then after that we can then reinstill and bring that all back, those relations, but have it in the position as required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And until we do not attain that love of Allah, then we are really the paupers of this world. One great scholar said, مساكين أهل الدنيا خرجوا منها وما ذاقوا أطيب ما فيها. The paupers of this world, the poverty-stricken people are those who have left this world and have not tasted the best of which this world has to offer. And they ask, what is this that you are talking about, the best of what this world has to offer? He said it is ma'rifatullah wa mahabbatullah wa dhikrullah. And the recognition of Allah, and the love of Allah, and the remembrance of Allah. There's the interventions to this, which until you do not taste it, you will not understand what is the enjoyment of worship. أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَلَدُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهْوِ فِي لَهْوِهِمْ. The poet says, the people who engage in the worship of Allah in the dead of the night, they stand in the tahajjud salah, the enjoyment that they attain in that far supersede the pleasure and enjoyment that the people of vice and sin think they are achieving. The authority said that if people knew, if the kings and the leaders of this world knew the pleasure that we attain in engaging in religious discussions and discussing matters of knowledge, and they know what is the inner feeling that we are experiencing, they would wage jihad against us to say, just give me a little of what you have. But nay, they do not know. And as long as you continue to sin, you'll never taste that enjoyment in worship. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said, for 20 years I continued performing the tahajjud salah, and there was no enjoyment in my tahajjud salah. After 20 years there was a special enjoyment that opened to me. And then one day I happened to commit one sin for accident. And for that, as a result of that, أُرِّمْتُ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ لِخَمْسَةِ أَشْهُرِ. I was then deprived again of performing the tahajjud salah for 5 months. So there's a special enjoyment that our deen has to offer, but we need to work for it. And when we look at how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had attained the love of Allah, then there are a number of points that we can pick up from the various incidents. Firstly, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيْهِ. That when you love someone, you always remember that person. If the young boy, just say, Ali is fallen in love with Sarah, for instance, will he have to put reminders on his phone that think of Sarah at 10 o'clock, think of Sarah at 11 o'clock? Will he have to do that? No. His overwhelming thought, naturally when he's free of any occupation, will naturally go to that girl that he's in love with. Similarly, if we have love of Allah in our heart, then we can gauge for ourselves, how often do we think of Allah? Sometimes we perform salah from the beginning till the end without even remembering Allah once in the entire salah. Therefore, we need to even make tawbah for our ibadat. So the entire salah passes. We're so preoccupied, one thing to the next thing, our thoughts just wander freely, and by the end we don't even realize that we made the salam and on our way out of the masjid. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such devotion and dedication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهٌ مُنِيبٌ. That Ibrahim was extremely tolerant and he was awwah. Now the ulama explain, what does this word awwah mean? It means someone who remembers Allah in a very deep state of spirituality. Removing everything else out of one's heart and only focusing on Allah alone. ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاذَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. The hadith speaks about a person who remembers Allah in such a condition that he removes everything from his heart, the entire creation, and he only focuses on Allah as the being, as the supreme creator, the mighty, the majestic. While focusing on that, the tears flow from his eyes. That person will never enter into Jahannam. If we can attain that condition just once. Now this was the common feature in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam had undertaken the miraculous journey of Mi'raj, where he had traversed the seven heavens, and on the seventh heaven, he met the father of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he found him sitting with his back against Baytul Ma'mur, which is the equivalent of the Kaaba, which is exactly above the Kaaba on the skies of this world. And in the conversation that ensued between the two great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave a message to our beloved master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he said, أبلغ أمتك مني السلام. Convey my salam to your ummah. Convey my salam to your ummah. Individuals like myself and yourself can feel honored that such a great Nabi was concerned about us, that he conveyed his salam. Have we even responded to that? And then he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُلْ لَهُمْ, and tell your ummah, tell them, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ, that Jannah is such, the turbatul ard, that it has very fertile ground, adbatul ma, it has sweet water to it. However, in the aqiyan, on an individual level, everyone, Jannah is a barren land as it stands, waiting for you to cultivate it. Wa inna ghirasaha, the plants that you can plant in your portion is, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar. The dhikr of Allah is what will adorn your Jannah. He's waiting for you there. It's been reserved for you, but it's for you to adorn it. And it's for you to beautify it. And that is with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we move on, another point that we pick up from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is his willingness to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can only gauge a person's dedication to a particular cause and how much he is willing to sacrifice for that cause. So when a person is coming late for work every day, then you'll tell the man that, you know, you come every day late, you don't value your job. And that is a sign of it, because you're not taking it seriously. But when you're willing to sacrifice, when there's choices that need to be made and you choose that which is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that shows that you are dedicated and that you value what is being offered. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. At a very early age, he had realized the wrong that his people had engaged in terms of the worship of idols. He wanted to teach them a lesson, and when they had gone out for the celebration, he then broke and destroyed all the idols and left the big one. When they came back and they questioned and eventually were directed to him, he said the biggest one had kill the others or destroy the others. This was a question that was put to them to make them realize their mistake. And eventually they came to the point where they wanted to kill him and take his life. And they lit the fire. And they continued to stoke it for an entire month with such a raging fire that they themselves could not come close. And they were wondering, now, how are we going to throw Ibrahim into this fire? Until Shaitan comes and gives them the suggestion, says, catapult him into the fire. And eventually they do this. And whilst he's in the fire at that moment, the angel comes to him and says that, Ibrahim, can I assist you by, I'm the angel of the wind, I will blow this fire out. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, that did you come on your own or is it Allah has sent you? And he says, that I've come on my own. He says, if you've come on your own, I do not need you, Allah knows my condition. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me and He is the best of guardians. The same happens with the angel in charge of the water. When he says these words, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, that fire which was supposed to have burnt him becomes a coolness for him to such an extent that years later when he's asked, he says, the best days of my life were the days when I was in the fire. The best days of my life was when I was in the fire. While he's there, his mother says, oh Ibrahim, I'd like to come meet you while in the fire. And he supplicates to your Lord, and his mother goes into the fire without being burnt in any way, and is able to embrace her son. It was the sacrifice at the outset that he was willing to make. When he put his life on the line, that was the sacrifice that was made. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the way. We want the end result, but we're not willing to make the sacrifice. We look at people, at ulama, at scholars, at personalities, and we think that that person is being honored in such a way. And many times we look at some of the scholars or the ulama or the pious at the end of their lives, how they're being honored, and we think we want similar honor and dignity in this world, but we forget about the sacrifices that they had made to reach that position. We've made our deen a hobby. So, we're willing to accommodate the deen as long as it doesn't clash with anything else. But the moment, on the one hand is your deen, and the other hand, you have to choose keeping or appeasing your family. So the family want to carry out the wedding in a particular manner, or they want to do things in this particular manner, and on the other hand, the deen demands that you do it in this way. Then at that time, what is the choice that we really make? And at that time, that will show us what dedication we have to our deen, what commitment do we have to our deen, and how much do we really value our deen. Is when we're willing to make that sacrifice for our deen, that shows commitment and dedication. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it showed us that this can be to the highest level. The third point is the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that he submitted without questioning anything. We're living in a time where secularism has become common, where nothing is sacred, everything can be questioned. We can even object and critique the hadith. That is the ideas that are floating around these days. People want to be able to express their opinion and offer a critical analysis. Nothing remains sacred. Any personality or anything can be commented on. A time of intellectual apostasy. Yet we are being reminded of the most basic lesson. When the command comes from Allah, then you submit and lower your head. Except this is from my Allah. I don't need to understand what is the reason. What is the wisdom? What will I benefit from this? How is this going to enhance and benefit my life? No. My Allah has said this, so I've got to accept it. And we can learn this from Hajj as well as Qurbani. Up until this point, perform Salah in Makkatul Mukarramah. Anyone who's there will attain the reward of 100,000 fold. One Salah being performed there is 100 times more rewarding. But come the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, now it's time to move to Mina. What you're going to do there, just remain and perform 5 salahs, nothing else. Why? But if I stay in Makkah, I'll get more reward. Well, now you've got to move on to the next phase, that is the instruction. If a person stands on the plains of Arafah for the entire year, there's no reward. Come the 9th, Allah says that you've got to stand there, and then you'll get the reward. According to all understandings, human understandings, to slaughter your own son would be absurd, would be unacceptable, unthinkable. Yet when Allah had given the command that to submit to that, that is what was required at that time. And Ibrahim a.s. had shown us the example. Allah could have given him direct wahi and said, I'm instructing you to slaughter your son. But Allah brought it to him in a dream, which is a lighter form of instruction to test him to see whether there will be any wavering or any doubt that will come about that Ibrahim a.s. submitted with and passed the test with flying colors. The pouncing of the Jamarat. Alhamdulillah, I praise Allah that I had the opportunity of performing Hajj twice. And I tell you what, if you stand on the Jamarat bridge and you ask the 2 million Hujjaj randomly, what is the purpose of this? Why are you pouncing? Someone will give this answer, someone will give that answer, but mostly you'll find people don't know. It's the instruction of the deen that we have to do it, and that's why we're doing it. This is the submission that we ought to learn from the acts of Hajj and the act of Qurbani. When the instruction has been conveyed to us authentically from people that you trust in knowledge, then don't delve and wonder into why this and why that. The lesson we learn is to accept and to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. There are numerous lessons that we can learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. I've been outlining to you just 3 points. The one is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is sacrificing for the sake of Allah. And the third is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can bring these three in, it will then lead us to the higher objective, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we enter and when we attain that love of Allah in this world, then our entire life will become beautiful in this world, enjoyable. One of the great scholars of the past said, "Inna fil jannati." In this world, inna fi dunya jannah. In this world, there is a garden of paradise. And whoever does not enter into that paradise will find it difficult to enter into the paradise of the akhirah. And that is the paradise of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to carry out all the acts and all the manasik of this time in the best possible manner. With an open heart, with a dedicated heart, with a willing heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding to draw lessons from this period of time. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We have one announcement with regard to the Salat al-Rain. Salat al-Istisqa that will be performed tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the Eidgah site. In fact, it's on Sunday at the Eidgah site, inshallah, Sunday 3 p.m. Now, Salat al-Istisqa is not just about going there and performing the salah and coming back. But it's really the realization of the fact that it's our own condition that is keeping back the rain. And it's for that reason that we go out with a heart, yearning, remorseful, repentant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beforehand, let us build up to that by making tawbah and by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. That Allah has instructed that you make tawbah and turn to Him, and then He will send down the rain, buckets full of rain, copious rain that will come down from the heavens. So when we go out on Sunday, then let us go out with the right frame of mind, the right inner feelings, making tawbah and asking Allah for forgiveness, being part of this. Allah grant us rain and alleviate the difficulties that are experiencing the one and all. Jazakum Allah khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Shahada la ilaha illa Allah. Shahada la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة ولا أيان القلاء أيان القلاء
القائل إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تنزل عليهم الملائكة ولا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم ونحمد حمدا كثيرا كلما يحمد الحامدون ونشكره شكرا جميلا كلما يشكر الشاكرون ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم وقال تعالى ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وقال تعالى إن إبراهيم لحليم أواه منيب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام أبلغ أمتك مني السلام وقل لهم إن الجنة تربة الأرض عذبة الماء وإنها قيآن وإن غراسها سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر وقال أحد السلف مساكن أهل الدنيا خرجوا منها وما ذاقوا أطيب ما فيها قيل وما أطيب ما فيها قال ذكر الله ومحبته ومعرفته هذا وأحثكم على طاعة الله وطاعة الرسول ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد خسر وغوى أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فيا فوز المستغفرين ويا نجاة التائبين